Good morning. Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if this only happens to me, but there are times that God, it seems, is toying with me or confusing me. I sometimes feel like I'm left to wonder what God is up to in my life. I know of a comedian named Stephen Wright, and he does a bit about where he talks about naming a puppy. And his idea is to name the puppy Stay, just to confuse the poor animal. That way, when he calls him, he says, "Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay." Well, I'm guessing that such confusion is perhaps what the demon-possessed man in the gospel lesson today must have felt. When Jesus had healed him, he wanted to go with Jesus. Maybe he thought it was only natural or maybe even expected of him. But no, Jesus told him to stay. And that wasn't the only thing Jesus told this man. He told him to stay and tell. Stay and tell. He was to stay in that town and tell what God had done for him. That idea of telling sounds familiar to us. Our mission here is what? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. We also are to stay in our town and share the gospel. And like this demoniac was healed, we're to tell what God has done for us through the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in this story, the man is demon-possessed and is released from his demons by the word of Jesus. When Jesus goes to leave that town, at the request of the fearful town people, this man who has been healed and has had his world totally changed naturally wants to go with Jesus who had healed him. But Jesus' comment to the man was that he was to stay and tell what God had done for the man. Notice that hugely important point from these few words. Jesus' work is God's work. Jesus knows his own identity. And with this bold statement makes clear that he understands and does not hide from the fact that he is God in the flesh. When Jesus heals this man with his word of deliverance, Jesus does what only God can do. He restores this man. Jesus gives him his right mind and sets him free from the power of Satan and sin and death. Jesus is God in the flesh. And here Jesus makes that clear in his words and his works. Jesus, in showing his power over Satan and his demons in this way, also shows us that we are in the same condition as either this man or the fearful townspeople. That is, we either live in the abject fear of God and his power, just as the pig herders and the people of that town expressed, or we're like this poor fellow, bound under the power of Satan and sin, and needing the deliverance that Jesus grants by his word alone. And did you notice how the townspeople came to fear Jesus? It was by the witness, by the sharing of the pig farmers to what Jesus had done. The town was told. The pig farmers shared with them. And that's the power of sharing. That's the power of a witness. But in this case, rather than rejoice at the work of God by the power of Jesus' word, they reacted in fear. We know that we and all the world, we need the work of God, need the deliverance he declares in the words and works of Jesus. And some people do receive God's help with thankfulness and joy, with relief and praise. But there are some who want Jesus just to leave them alone. They really don't want to live free of sin and its power that both surrounds us and lives in us. And so, in choosing to turn from Jesus, we can be left condemned to the fires of hell, reserved for Satan and all who reject Christ. There are those who have said, or perhaps even we have said at one time or another, we really don't need God to get along in our daily life. We all know people who think that religion is not for them. And many people are religious about believing that. In one sense, they are right about religion. But everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs deliverance and healing through Jesus' words and works alone. His works, his death on the cross and victorious resurrection to life, are what he promises in his word that give us eternal life in heaven with him. But for many people, they're just too proud or seemingly self-sufficient to need God. Sad to say, Andrew Carnegie, you know who he is, Andrew Carnegie once said, "I don't want a free ticket into heaven." To such people, salvation by grace through faith alone is a very hard, very difficult teaching. It's amazing to me that since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we have found ways to reject God that at their core continue to be the same. But God always seeks after us. He comes to us. We're in a world that on the whole rejects God. And yet, we need not be fearful of what will happen, as our future is in God's hands. We simply receive what he has for us. No, the world we live in still finds ways to spurn God as it has since Eden. Think for a moment. What have you seen in the news recently, or heard in a conversation that confirms this for you? How many times have you seen others, or you yourself, cover up sin and call it something else like, "Oh, it's just a little quirk. Oh, I'm sorry, it's just a small failing that I have." Or maybe something like, "It's my choice. I'm not really hurting anyone. It's not really hurting anyone else." We say those things because no one likes the idea that they sin. To admit sin would mean that there's a judge who is greater than we are. No one likes that idea. We like to be the center of the world. So it's no different today than even in Isaiah's day, as we read in the Old Testament lesson. Isaiah outlines ways that people offend God. And in the townspeople in the gospel lesson, we see what Isaiah describes. In verse 1 of the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah tells us that God reveals himself to a people who did not ask for him. Isaiah also points out that there are people who, in verse 4, sit among the tombs. It's uncanny how this passage from Isaiah has elements in it right from the gospel lesson. It even speaks of pigs. The condition of our world, as Isaiah describes it, has not changed. The question is, will we recognize the condition that we're in? Will we receive the healing that God brings to us in Jesus' words and works and be set free like the demoniac? Or will we, like the townspeople and like Isaiah said, reject God out of fear? That's an important question to consider. Because we need to recognize that fear is what those around us live in. Fear, whether they realize it or not, is at the root of why they reject God and His love in Jesus Christ. And if we're honest, we too have done that in our own lives in various ways. As we live mindful and aware that we are living in the grace and mercy of God, we see more clearly that God is in control and not us. It's a Hebrew way of thinking. It's both and. We are both totally free and at the same time totally in the will of God by His grace alone. I know that for me, fear of not doing the right thing is often what I let prevent me from living in the freedom that Christ has died to give me. Fear is that thing that can paralyze me into inaction, just because I'd rather not do anything rather than do the wrong thing. Now, Wayne Gretzky, hockey with what's going on up in St. Louis, Wayne Gretzky once said, "You miss 100% of the shots you never take." Well, not taking shots is wrong for me, since I claim to be free in Christ. In believing the truth that I profess to be found in Scripture, then I need not fear. I am free to try and to do the right thing. And if I make a mistake in trying to do what I believe God wants me to do, then I trust in Him to both forgive me and to correct me. God does correct us when we do the wrong thing, but that's done out of His love for us. It's not done as punishment. I need not fear His punishment in that way. Jesus has taken the wrath of God on the cross. Christ has taken away all divine punishment for all of my wrongs, all of my sin, and all of my fear. Jesus didn't punish the demoniac for doing wrong. Rather, Jesus took away what it was that caused him to live as he did. Jesus removed the source of his torment. Jesus, by his cross and through his Holy Spirit and through his word and sacraments, does that for us. He removes fear by his grace to us. There's a parody of the hymn Onward, Christian Soldiers, that says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, running from the war, with the cross of Jesus hid behind the door." Well, that is not us. We don't hide the cross of Jesus behind the door, and we don't run from the war that we're in. We gather together here in faith. Faith in the power of God's words and works to deliver us. We know we have been delivered from our fear and from being the possession of Satan. The blood of Jesus from the cross has accomplished that, and He has delivered faith to us. The epistle lesson today says, "Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed." We are reminded in these words, what it is to have been locked up, being fearful and rejecting God, just like those that we seek to share the gospel with here. But by faith, coming to us through the declaration of God's word, we are set free. And we have been released. We are not confused about who we are, unlike that puppy named Stay. We are not held in bondage like the townspeople in the gospel lesson. And we're not like Andrew Carnegie. We embrace the free ticket to heaven that is God's gift to us through the costly sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his victorious resurrection to life again. We are now soldiers of that cross, and we've been given our right mind and been clothed like the demoniac. Now, don't miss this. We've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we've been given the mind of Christ. So for us, we hear Jesus' words to the demoniac for ourselves. Jesus says for us to stay and tell. We get to tell people what God has done for us. And that brings us back to the subtle power of the statement that Jesus made. What Jesus' work has done for us, he's done because he is God in the flesh. His power and work have been revealed to us, as Isaiah said, even though we were once a people who didn't ask for God to reveal himself to us. Yet in love, he has done just that. He reveals himself through Jesus. I love that he has sent our demons to drown in the baptismal waters that we've been washed with. We have been freed of that deadly fear that once possessed us. We're now in our right minds because we have the mind of Christ. And Jesus wants us also to stay and tell by hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. What form will that take for you this week? How will you be intentional about sharing, about telling the gospel? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, amen.